This podcast is certified fresh.
Freshmediaworks.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Central Texas Small Business Spotlight, Season 2, Episode 9. This is a show where I sit down with local Central Texas small business owners, learn a little bit about them and how their businesses run. My guest today is Ansar Smays with Capital City Automotive.
All right, everybody, join me in welcoming Ansar Smays from Capital City Automotive to the show. Ansar, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Just happy I got a job.
Yeah, exactly, right? Nice. Well, you got more than a job. You got a small business that's actually surviving. That's huge.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's nice to be able to have a small business and be that under that grouping of essential right now. So, you know.
Right on. So if you could, let's jump back and give us your background, how you got into business.
Yeah, so I've been doing this since I was a little kid. I grew up in this business, probably started turning wrenches at an age of like 9 years old. Nice. And bought my first car at 11, fixed it, turned around and sold it. So I kind of grew up in the business. It was kind of in my blood. I never imagined that I would do it. I always thought I'd do something else, but it kind of just fell into place. And in 2003, we started Capital City Automotive, my uncle and I. I was just a manager at the time, and then I bought into the business in 07, and him and I are, you know, partners here, and we both work it every day.
Nice. I tell you, I'm impressed. 11, buying your first car. At 11, I was an entrepreneur. I had a bike repair shop, but I didn't dream of buying and selling cars.
Yeah, you know, I just looked at it like I always looked at how I could make money, and I bought a car for like $300, put $300-$400 into it and sold it for a couple grand. And that's kind of how I got started. And then I had been buying and selling cars all the way. And I didn't even know how to drive them. It was a manual transmission. It was the funniest thing ever. So
that is awesome. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned you and your uncle founded or started Capital City Automotive. Talk about what prompted that and how it came into, you know, being a real place.
Yeah, so funny thing is, Capital City Automotive is here on South Congress Avenue. Right across the street is High Tech Automotive. High Tech Automotive has been there since 1987. We both started there. That's my dad's shop. We both started there. So this High Tech Automotive, the Capital City Automotive that we're at right now, was a auto performance shop that was run by my brother and a friend of the family. They pretty much, started not doing so well. And then my uncle, who was working with my dad at the time, so was I, he ran at the opportunity to come over here and just start his own auto repair shop. He did that, and then I followed him, like, not very long after. That's where it started. I mean, is it the most ideal place for a mechanic shop? I think it's we're in the wrong place. I think we could be doing the same thing, you know, with a less expensive property. But, you know, my dad bought this property back in the early, like, 1991, he bought this place. And it's, you know, we got it for pennies on the dollar for what it's worth now, you know. So, and we just haven't had the opportunity to get out of it or sell it or lease it. We want to find that right opportunity. So it's been a mechanic shop here on South Congress. And I mean, we love the people in the area. We love our customers, and it's kind of been hard to change from that.
Yeah, because that's not the kind of business you think of on South Congress at all. It seems to stick out, but that must have some benefits too.
Oh, it definitely has the benefits. I mean, not only like economical benefits. I mean, the benefit of just being able to walk out and go walk in on South Congress and seeing the cool stuff going on and the weird people walking around. And it actually, it's kind of like what makes South Congress, South Congress, is having a mechanic shop in the middle. It's kind of the weirdest thing. I mean, it's what makes it, you know, keep that Austin weird mentality, you know?
I love that. So what is your niche? If you, you know, had to say what differentiates you from your competition?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a few things. Like, number one, we buy, sell cars as well. We started doing that because we have customers that, you know, will have a car that's, you know, needing major repairs. So we'll kind of talk them out of repairing the car. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not worth putting money into a vehicle that's like ready for a scrapyard, you know? So we'll put them in another car, and who better than a mechanic to sell you a car, you know? Mm-hmm. So we sell cars, but what separates us on the mechanic and service side, we get free loaner cars. Mm-hmm. We also, both the owners work it here. So me, I deal with the customers. Nobody else does. Unless I'm not here, my uncle deals with the customers. So every customer that walks into this door will talk to me. I will call them. I have nobody else doing that. Then I've got my uncle, who's that, my business partner. He's out there. He's our shop foreman, and he overlooks everything. So, like, before any car leaves our shop, he's overlooking it, making sure, and he's got many years' experience in repairing vehicles. He'll go out there. He'll make sure every car is ready to go. If from a simple oil change to an engine overhaul. You know, the other thing is, I mean, we shoot people straight. You know, we won't sell anything unless it's absolutely needed. Unless, you know, we see it being, you know, an issue down the line. I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, fabricate things for customers just so we can make a dollar. You know, I actually wrote a paper. So I was, when we first opened up, I was actually going to school. I went to St. Edward's University, and I wrote a paper in the ethics and public policy course on this particular matter. And it was almost like, you know, it's so simple. Just be honest with people and they're going to come back. And eventually those things that some mechanic shops are trying to dupe people on, eventually those things are going to fail on that car, and they're going to come back and they're going to do it with me. So why try to take everything at one time? I can just, you know, take things, you know, tell the truth, and it'll eventually come. I mean, that's just kind of how we've built our business, and we've lost very, very, very few customers. So I think that's kind of what separates us. There's another thing, you know, as far as like our car sales, what separates us, we've sold a lot of good cars. We focus on the drive of the vehicle. We don't really focus on aesthetics. I mean, you'll come here and see a car, and people say, can you clean it up? And I say, you know what? For me, the cleanliness of the vehicle is not the most important thing. You know, for us, we look at drivetrain. Is this car going to be a roadworthy vehicle? And that's kind of what separates us there. And we've had a lot of happy customers write reviews. Now I've got people that come in and buy cars blindly. They don't even take it to get a third party, especially because they know, look, this shop's been here for a while. They sell good cars. They got a lot of good testimonials. And people will just come in and buy a car for me, and they'll, you know, they get a good feel for us. And they see that we've inspected these vehicles thoroughly. And I think that's what separates us there in the car sales as well. So that's part of our business as well.
I love that. A couple reasons. One, you know, if I come to get my oil changed, you don't try to sell me an air filter every single time I come.
Absolutely not. You know, we focus on, like I said, we focus on what the car needs, and we're not trying to just make sure it's at the very minimum. I mean, we want to make sure the car is maintained still, but you got to have that kind of that balance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some preventative that definitely has to happen, but you're right. You know, I don't need the air filter every time. I don't need new wiper blades every time.
Absolutely not. That reminds me of a situation yesterday where on part of the service check, it says wiper blades. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, if you're going to change the wiper blades every 10,000 miles, I mean, you're just throwing money away. I'm more of like, is the customer complaining over, you know, the smearing of the glass or the wipers look bad, then I'll replace them. You know, that's kind of our, you know, our philosophy on, you know, replacing items like that, you know?
I love that. And if you could talk about the types of cars that you have available, you know, because some
you know,
in different areas.
As far as car, like vehicles that we have available for sale?
Yes.
Okay. So as far as, we work on everything. As far as vehicles for sale, I mean, we sell anything from I'm looking out on the lot right now. I got a Jeep Wrangler and I've got a Hummer H2. I've got a Toyota Avalon, but we mostly sell Subarus. We got into the Subaru thing about 10 years ago and we've become the Subaru guys. I mean, we've even had the Subaru dealership call us up and ask us for our pricing, which I thought was hysterical, because we were getting a lot of their customers, but we work on a lot of Subarus and sell a lot of Subarus.
Nice. Yeah, that's good to know, because like I said, some dealerships will focus on imports. Some will focus on, you know, just rust buckets, low bottom price kind of thing. But got a good range.
Yeah, you know, everybody's got their focus. Like I said, we focus on the Subaru part, but we sell everything. And, you know, I've got and we work on everything. You know, that's the main thing. You know, I've heard shops that won't work on anything 95 and older. I've heard of shops not working on a particular make vehicle. And, you know, I say, hey, you know how to work on a Toyota, you know how to work on a Chevy. I mean, that's just that's our philosophy. We can work on anything. We won't turn down any vehicle.
Nice. And you know, back when I was young, a long time ago, you know, the Sig Tree mechanic was a thing because there wasn't all the electronics in there now, like they have now. So what have you seen as far as a trend in cars since then that you notice as a mechanic?
Yeah, you know, I don't even call, I don't even say mechanic anymore. I mean, vehicles have become so technological and unique these days. I mean, you have to continue to educate yourself, going to seminars, going to classes, learning new technologies, the hybrid system, there's so many things. I mean, we learn things every day on cars, and we got to continue to educate ourselves. And I've got guys like older gentlemen that, you know, worked on their cars when they were younger, and they come in and they're like, I know nothing about this. And it's true. I mean, you got to be able to have all the equipment. You got to have the knowledge, and you got to be somewhat, you know, smart to be able to, you know, diagnose certain things. And there's some guys that all they know how to do is take alternator off, take starter off, take, you know, but they don't know how to actually diagnose a vehicle properly. And it's become very technical over the past 15, 20 years. And it's even getting more and more every day as vehicles progress with all these new technologies in them. So nice.
So again, forgive my ignorance at referring to you as a mechanic. What's the correct term? Is it like technician now or engineer?
You know, we still say mechanic. We definitely don't say engineer, but we say technician or mechanic. I don't think anybody gets offended by anything. You can call us whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But so I don't think there's really a term. I guess when I'm putting out an ad for a job, I'll put technician, you know.
Got it. Cool. So let's fast forward now to, been a month or so ago now, over a month, COVID-19 hit. What changes have you seen? Understanding that, of course, you know, you're considered essential, so you still keep, you know, keep the doors open, but what have
sure.
you changed for you?
Well, first of all, I know it's been a month, but it seems like 10 years. I think a lot of people are just ready for it to just go back to normal, which is kind of a tough situation. But yeah, I mean, we were considered essential. I think one of the first things that when I first started hearing about this, I immediately started talking to my uncle, my business partner, about the certain things that we need to do. And I told them we absolutely have to keep our doors open. We cannot close our doors. We cannot reduce our hours. If anything, just to keep all the guys employed, because I told all my employees, I'm going to keep every one of you employed. I'm not laying one of you off. We might have to reduce some hours, which we did, But you know, you as a business owner, you got to figure out what you've got to do to cut some fat, what you've got to do to fix your business in any situation. And if it meant me getting on the phone and calling customers, that's what I had to do. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about, I actually sent out a text to as many people as I could saying, listen, guys, I don't want to politicize this. I don't really want to say this is fake or anything like that. I don't want to politicize this. All I want to say is we've got to keep businesses open. We've got to keep supporting our economy. The worst thing we can do is shut down our doors. So, you know, we took that into account. Basically, as soon as this thing hit, I said, guys, we got to stay as clean as we can. We ordered a bunch of masks. We ordered a bunch of gloves, sanitizers, cleaning supplies. And I chained off my office door. So we were just at the very beginning. We begin a little bit looser now, but at the very beginning, we were taking customers' information outside. We were taking credit card payments outside. And we were trying to go with every precaution possible. We would clean cars before we got in. We'd keep the windows down for like 5 minutes. I mean, we were doing whatever we can with the information that was given, you know. And, you know, still right now, fast forward to now, I still have the office chained off, but I just make sure whoever's coming in wearing a mask. You know, we still clean all the cars before and after we give them to the customers. So we go through a pretty thorough, you know, step-by-step process for this whole situation. One thing that I did, so I did reduce my guys' hours because we were not getting any business in the first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So I literally went in and I texted every customer. I put a generic text message to all the customers telling them what we're doing and how we're practicing safe tactics. And I included one thing that I'll get to in a little bit in the text as well. But I texted each and every customer from January of 2019, and I stopped at September because it took me so long. But we were starting to pick back up, and I was able to call all my employees and tell them everybody's back on the clock 100% because we were able to pick back up. But one thing that I did from the very beginning, I started in April 8th. I started working on the beginning of April. We started April 8th. Is we gave back 20% of all of our labor to the Central Texas Food Bank, and we were also matching monetary donations. And a lot of people say, "Wow, you know, you're going through an economic crisis, and you decide to do that." Then I did. It's probably not the most ideal time, but it did help us get some business in, and it helped a good cause. But I included that in the text, and you won't believe how many people, you know, started donating to the Central Texas Food Bank from that, and they would send me the receipts, so I got to match them. And then how many people would actually just reach out and say what a great thing we're doing, and how many people actually just say, you know what, I need an oil change. I'd like to support the food bank. And they would come in, we would do some things, we would find some other things with their car, and that's kind of what got our business back. I got all my guys since about 2-3 weeks now. They're back on the clock 100%. Nobody's laid off. And those are the things that we kind of went through as a business. And that's what I was talking about in the beginning when I said every business owner has to look at every situation and see what they can do to make their situation better. If it means looking at your bills and trying to cut them down, which I did, like there was my trash can bills, like the dumpster and recycling, I called them. I got them to reduce that. You got to do whatever you can because – we're not just going to be given things unless you look at that PPP as, you know, but I don't know anybody that's gotten that. So.
No, I love that. I love that. We, you know, and that's kind of a conversation we have in-house here all the time is about companies need to pivot when something happens. And that's exactly what we're doing with this show. Cause you know, we have a ton of football shows, all kinds of stuff that normally takes up most of our time. But now we've like, no, we've got to focus on small business and do it in a way that we can help guys like you get the word out about the cool things they're doing. So, yeah, I'm with you 100% on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you've got to do what you've got to do to keep your business afloat. And if it was easy, everybody would have a small business.
Right.
You know?
That's right. So if you could tell people how they can find you, how they can get in touch with you, you know, all the contact info.
Yeah, so up until about a few weeks ago, we really didn't even have social media. I never thought it was useful to be honest. I've never been a social media guy, so I never had one. And up until about a few weeks ago, I didn't have a Facebook page. So we have a Facebook page. I don't know how good it is. I mean, I'm new to it. And I had to do that to get the word out to customers that we are doing those things. But as far as finding us, I mean, we are on South Congress Avenue in the heart of the walking area. We're next to that big Torchy's, the flagship. On the weekends before this pre-corona thing, on the weekends we had the Austin's Makers Collective out here on Saturdays and Sundays. They had their tents out in our lot. They would sell products. So a lot of people know us by that. Our website, yeah, CapitalCityAutoAustin.com, and then I have CapitalCityAutoSales.net. Those are our emails, our websites. You know, we're more of just reach us by phone, reach us by email, and that's kind of just
– I don't think you've given the phone yet.
Yeah, it's 512-447-AUTO, 447-AUTO, 2886. That's our phone number, and yeah.
Ansar Smace, I want to thank you so much for sitting down with me, telling us a little bit about Capital City Automotive and the pivot that you guys have made. Inspiring story. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, bud. Have a good one.
Hey, once again, I want to thank Ansar Smays from Capital City Automotive for sitting down with me and sharing with all of us a little bit about his company. Please remember to go out and support small businesses like Capital City Automotive. I also want to take a second to thank the following supporters whose donations made this show possible. Waterloo Power, Diane Purcell, Floral Renaissance of Austin, Stellar Energy Solutions, Corey Pack, State Farm Insurance, Trish Wilder, Edward Jones Financial Advisor, Letty Sanchez, AEM Executive Consultants, Bob Sprague with Legal Shield, Square Pet, Otan Patrick Ford, Hayes County Physical Therapy, Latham Beef Company, Willow Gardens Yoga, Capital City Automotive, Premier Cuts, and Realty Austin. As always, please go out and support small business. They are the backbone of this country. I'm Chris Daly, and until next time, keep it real.
To learn more about how Chris can help your company get more customers, call 713-269-4620 or visit us on the web at freshmediaworks.com.